Hello and welcome to the Ozone. I'm your host, Jeff Hazard, retired Sports Information Director of SUNY Oneonta and the current chair of the Athletic Hall of Fame Committee. And on today's show, we're going to be talking with Mike Lauer, class of 2005. We will be inducting him into our Athletic Hall of Fame on June 7th of this year, 2025. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thanks for having me, Jeff.
First of all, on behalf of the committee, we certainly want to say congratulations on this well-deserved honor.
Well, thank you.
What is it? Initial thoughts on being a Hall of Famer?
Just a little surprised at first, a little taken back. I guess grateful for the recognition. Grateful for the team that surrounded me too. Obviously, you don't get to be a Hall of Fame goaltender without some serious help.
I'm sure that did it bring back what kind of memories did it bring back?
Well, I mean, Seth Baker called me within hours of hearing the news, so we've been swapping some stories since then. It brought back a lot of memories of freshman year, the transition from being a high school student to a freshman goaltender was rather challenging. Some of the traditions that go along with that, having to pick up and carry the ball bag as a freshman goaltender is pretty standard, but a little weird when you're the starter too. I've been telling my wife and some kids some stories about playing in the cold since I live in the South now. Brought back some memories of, icicles in my hair and things like that.
Maybe talk about some of those teams and teammates that you had.
Well, Seth Baker, I mentioned already. He was like a big brother. As soon as I walked in the door, Seth took to me right away. Kind of kept me, under his wing for a while, which was really important. Looking back, it was really important to me. I didn't realize that at the time, but having an older guy, the year ahead of me, kind of protecting me and keep me under his wing, making sure I got everything done that I need to get done was a good one. I played with a ton of talented players. Luke Rabideau came to mind. He was another fantastic defenseman. Josh Shustman was a longtime teammate and best friend all through my years in Oneonta. There's a lot of talented players on some of those teams. Dan Bakke, Matt Puerta, Anthony Pisciotta. At one point, we had the highest scoring offense in the country. It was. I hadn't really thought too much about my college career being older with kids now. I don't really get to relive too many of the glory days, but this was it brought back a whole bunch of memories. Beating an Ithaca team that was, I think, number five in the country at Oneonta. That was a big one that Seth and I talked about too.
Was that the overtime game?
No, it wasn't an overtime. We beat them pretty handily. The overtime game was
Was that?
the triple overtime game.
Yeah, the one where Dooley scored the game
Dude,
winner.
so that wasn't with me. Dooley was the
Oh.
year before I got there.
Oh, okay. I thought that was with you in goal. So what about your Oneonta experience? Like, what drew you to Oneonta? How'd you end up at, coming to this town and coming to the city?
Coach Jim Nagel. I was recruited heavily by Coach Nagel. That I would say that's probably the main reason. I mean, he recruited me a lot harder than most other coaches. I was attending camps with him during the summer, was how we really got to know each other. And then, of course, when you go to visit, it's a beautiful campus. A majority of the students there, being that it was a state school, I kind of felt like I fit in with kind of the middle class. A lot of blue collar families there sending their kids to state schools. I felt like I fit in more with the kids there than some of the, private schools that are much more expensive.
And so you got to campus, you felt like home, and then, what about the experience with Jim Nagel do you think, helped you initially in those early years?
Well, he was my coach for 1 year, and it was a very, very hard year. He was very difficult to play for me anyway, as a freshman. I was not, what's, I don't even know how to phrase this. I wasn't even aware of the amount of commitment that was possible and the amount of effort that was going to be required of me to be as successful as I was. And he was the one that really showed me what I was capable of. As much as I didn't like it, sometimes it was very, very difficult. I was pushed extremely hard, but obviously handled it and did very well. I mean, I was first team all conference as a freshman, beating out a kid from Cortland who went on to be an All-American. So I would say he had a lot to do with shaping the work ethic and realizing what kind of work it took to be that successful and continuing that over my next 4 years, so 3 years after that.
So when you got it, past that next year, new coach, how did you approach that situation?
I kind of approached it the same. Being a goaltender, you're sort of an odd duck when it comes to lacrosse. Very rarely do you have a goaltending coach or anybody that could put in any work with you during practice. So a lot of what I took from him, I implemented on my own outside practice and in the off season. It was a year-round job to stay at that high level. So that I learned that from him. I carried that forward. Just a work ethic throughout the entire year for sure. And the high demands, he would call me out in front of everybody, and at the time it hurts. And then you realize he's right, and he's just holding me to a higher standard than everybody else. And once I realized that and started holding myself to that kind of standard, other teammates would come along and try and hold themselves to a higher standard too.
So as you so did you look at yourself even as a sophomore with a new coach, like being a leader?
I wouldn't say at that time I didn't. Still only a sophomore. You're kind of a young guy. The upperclassmen kind of take a lot of that in. Looking back, I'd say I probably was. Not necessarily being a vocal leader, but with my work ethic and how I conducted myself in practice. And, I was the type of guy, I didn't ever like people scoring on me. I remember getting in arguments with teammates, even in practice. It was unacceptable. So I think keeping those kind of standards every single day in practice kind of shaped me as a leader unknowingly at the time.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, because you're, I mean, everybody notices when the ball goes in, right? And
And when you're just running drills, the midfielders, they don't care. But
yeah.
I'm the one back there getting hit with the ball, punishing them. So, I didn't let anybody, miss assignments during practice ever. And I think that, that kind of helped us become a very good defense at times.
Now, so I guess, because, certainly it's not something I ever did, but like, was goalie the thing you thought you were going to be when you started playing lacrosse?
Actually, no. No, I thought I was going to be a midfielder. My first year, there was one player that played goaltender. And he wore leg pads and arm pads. And he didn't really want to be a goaltender. And they were like, does anybody else want to try it? And I had played catcher in baseball for years. So I was like, I'll give it a shot. And all my friends on the team were like, don't wear the leg pads. Don't wear the leg pads. And I ended up being pretty good. And he wanted a chance to play midfield. So we were switch ass. He went on to be an All-American midfielder. And I went on to be an All-American goaltender. So I think it was the right choice. But no, I thought I was going to show up and, score goals and get all the girls like that. But that's not how it went.
I guess my question is like, what's that like when the ball is coming at you and you're the guy that has to stop it?
It's odd. It's very counterintuitive. You learn to train and be willing to step in the way. At the time, it's not a big deal. I'm a 19 to 21-year-old kid. It's a machismo thing, and I couldn't do it now. I'll tell you, if I got hit with the ball now, I'd fall on the ground. But it becomes like a mental toughness thing. People would say, you're crazy for standing in there. I'd say, you're crazy for running around all day. I'm in a 9-foot circle that nobody else is allowed in. But it's definitely a mental thing, and it also to stand in there and take those hits and take those shots and take those goals away from people becomes a big mind game for the other team when you're unflappable and appear to be, pain-free, getting hit in the legs and the shins and the knees and, all kinds of places, and then just standing there and looking for more. You could see it start to kind of demoralize other teams.
Now, do you feel that a lacrosse goalie may have just as good as stick skills as anyone else on the field?
They can. They certainly can. If you have reasonable stick skills as a goaltender, then you're probably pretty skilled because of the size difference in the stick. It's just harder to work. It's harder to control. The pockets are often a lot deeper, so that you control rebounds, but also makes it more difficult to get quick passes. So, if you have good stick skills, I would say you're probably more talented with the stick than a lot of the field players on your team, although it's difficult to show. I kept my stick skills very high. I always played with both hands because I believe that if I wasn't an asset to my team clearing the ball, then I was a waste of space. I'm the extra man, and if I can't carry and throw with both hands and be effective in the clear, then I'm limiting myself as to what I can offer to my teammates, and I'm just expecting them to do all that.
And certainly, we know, for myself, being able to watch you play for 4 years, one of the most exciting moments was when you went end to end and scored a goal against Potsdam. We went on to win that game in overtime. I mean, the place went crazy. I mean, what was that feeling like?
Yeah, it was pretty good. So I have two career goals, and I think, I don't know, somewhere between 5 and 7 assists. The one was the Potsdam, the triple overtime game at home.
Yeah, that was, yep.
All right, so then if that's the home game, I think maybe the Potsdam game was away. It might have been not Brockport. Who's the other green and yellow team?
Oswego.
Oswego. I think Oswego was the triple overtime at home. That's actually also a man down. So it was pretty exciting. I remember the play. We were clearing man down. I gave it off to Brad Gildersleeve, and qu pulled a quick back door, and he gave it right back to me. And in the moment, it was just trying to make the right decision, right? I mean, I've heard my coaches yell at midfielders all the time where to pass the ball, and nobody came. Nobody came quick enough, so I shot it. It was pretty exciting. Looking back, obviously, that's a huge goal to score man down in the first half of a game that goes to triple overtime. It was pretty awesome.
So of course, yes, we did have quite a, every year I think we had winning records with you back there. And again, you mentioned some of the players that we had. And yeah, I think in that year, when we had like Piscataway Perda, I mean, we were like averaging over 16 goals a game, I believe, throughout the season, which is even if you watch today's lacrosse games, even with the shot clock, the game seemed to be a little more defensive and maybe there isn't that much scoring anymore. Like, what was it like playing with those guys in front of you, knowing that, hey, I might let in a goal, but they're going to score two or three on the other end?
I never really thought about them carrying, seeing how much they would score. We were always focused on our job. It was our job to make stops and get them the ball. I will say that we held each other to certain standards during practice. They were very, very good, but we had to play them every day. So it was excellent because those guys could move the ball. They could shoot from different locations. Obviously, Puerta was the one creating, but he had Bacchia on one side. Dave Coughlin was there for a while, and Piscataway would finish just about everything. So it was more fun playing with him in practice and getting to have to work against them every day because they could definitely play. They could move the ball. It was nice. I just watched a game film not too long ago. It was nice to be able to go back and watch some of, when you're in the moment, you don't necessarily think about this all that much, but watching us go from defensive stops to clears through midfield into fast breaks and watching them convert every single time, boom, four, five, six passes and finish. And then, they'd all point back at us for starting to play. So just really good textbook lacrosse. That was Stu Mohn's first and second year there. We really had a good offense midfield. We had a really good team. I think we were seventh in the country at one point.
And I know what you're saying, like the transition was just, the ball would come out, boom, you'd get it to somebody, and all of a sudden it'd be on the other end and in the back of the other goal, and that was pretty
Yeah,
quick.
those, I forget what I think Stu Mohn used to call them, the Smurf line. It was Bacchi, Puerta, and Piscataway. And they were not very big dudes, but they never dropped the ball. It moved in and out of sticks to open goals regularly. It's fun to watch it from the other end and see somebody else get embarrassed with it because we had to handle it every day.
Some you mentioned the Ithaca game. I mean, are there any, and you're certainly the two goals that you had, and any other kind of highlights or things that you would look at from your time?
I don't have any specific games. I remember a couple of times doing some odd things that have come back recently. I remember Stu Mohn used to intentionally make us play a man down, and he would put one of our defensive midfielders completely out of the play. And other teams didn't know what was going on. They thought it was weird. And then, they take a quick outside shot. And we
Right.
had Matt Blazy at the time was just standing at the faceoff line. And he'd just stand there and wait. It was nice to know that they had that kind of trust in me that we would literally play man down. And the other team would force it. And they'd take, an outside shot for an easy save. And then, bam, we'd have a faceoff right away.
Yeah.
The games against Ithaca always stood out. They were always very good, and it was a class program.
Yeah.
Their coach was Jeff Long. I don't know if he's still there, but he was an excellent coach. He was a classy guy. He always had positive things to say. Even I want to say we're probably 2-2 against them over the 4 years. They were always great games, always real good battles. They always had a good team.
Yeah.
Geneseo had a lot of good teams. They were always hard to deal with because they weren't flashy like the other teams. They didn't have high-powered offense. They had a whole bunch of kids that could do their job, and they end up winning a lot of games. And then, of course, you have Cortland, who, was at the time top-ranked in the country. I believe they won a national championship while I was still there. I mean, they were excellent. We had some good games, but it was always tough to face them.
So, anything else about your Oneonta experience, campus life, academics, that you want to talk about?
I loved my time at Oneonta. I thought we had a great time on campus. The living situations were awesome. I lived with lacrosse players every year that I was there.
Right.
We used to train in the old gym down. I don't remember the name of it,
Oh,
the Chase.
Chase, yeah.
Yeah, I had the old gym down by the old bowling alley. We used to go down in there. I know they got a brand new facility up the road. I mean, I remember the turf field getting built. Is it even still regular AstroTurf, or have they redone it since then?
So it's field turf on both surfaces. So we redid the grass field that we played soccer on when you were here. That's
Yeah.
field turf as well.
I hate to incriminate myself a little, but I remember when they were building that, we got in a little bit of trouble for swiping some extra scraps that were laying around. And we actually, my sophomore year, we had an AstroTurf bathroom in our suite.
Oh, shit.
We got in a little trouble for that, but it
Yeah.
was just scraps.
Yeah. Yeah, certainly, having that field, and being able to play on a surface that was more conducive to, to lacrosse and a fast-paced game that we did play, certainly must have helped you guys as well.
Yeah, I remember being surrounded by 10-foot snowbanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you are now currently, I so you went on and got your master's degree. You spent a couple of years at Springfield as a defensive coordinator. What was that experience like as being a coach?
It was great, actually. I mean, that was my first career path choice was to try and become a head lacrosse coach, preferably in Division III. It ended up not working out, but my time at Springfield was awesome. I learned a lot. I got handed kind of a lot of responsibility, which was nice. I was kind of given the keys, to that defense and allowed to do whatever I wanted to do. Actually, we ended up. My second year there, we ended up the goaltender gets the credit, but the defense had the lowest goals against average in school history,
Wow.
and that's a pretty storied program. They have a
Yeah.
Division II national championship. They've been to the NCAA tournament a whole bunch of times. They've had some really good players and goaltenders. Jeremy Platt was there a few years before I got there. He was very, very good. We ended up. I can't remember what it was, but Jeff, I think it was less than 5 goals a game.
Oh my, wow.
Yeah, it was pretty outstanding.
Wow.
And that's the campus that I used to go to camp on all summer long.
Okay.
So the coach there was Keith Bugbee. So
Yeah.
getting to work with him was great. Getting to be on that campus where really I learned and came up in the game. We played against Sean Quirk, who was at
Yeah.
Winnick across the street. He was another one of my coaches at camp and an outstanding goaltender in his day. So it was nice to be, it was a little nostalgic to be able to go back and kind of be seated at the table with people that I had looked up to in the industry and specifically the position for a long time.
Yeah. Wow. That is because those two, you name those two guys to anybody. Our men's lacrosse coach here at New England College, he coached with Sean at Western New England after he played. And he talks about him all the time, the teams, the games and all that.
I mean, Sean Quirk was an outstanding goaltender in his day and really, really a brilliant coach, a very, very good coach.
Yeah.
I also had the opportunity, my younger brother Kyle was on that team at Springfield when I was there as he was a freshman and a sophomore the 2 years that I worked there. So it was really cool. He played mostly offense,
Yeah.
so I didn't have to necessarily coach him a whole lot, but it was quite an experience to have him on the team
Yeah, that's
while I
awesome.
was there.
So you are the owner of your own remodeling company.
I am.
So how did that happen?
Well, this was what I did for a summer job when I was in high school and college. It was something I always enjoyed. I took a lot of, technology classes in high school. I always made good money during the summers because I was fairly skilled. And then, when I got out of grad school was 2009, and it was a tough year for coaches and the education department at that time. I didn't get a job. And I ended up moving back home to Long Island and starting a business there and doing pretty being pretty successful for a couple of years. And then I ended up moving down here, and I'm right outside of Asheville, North Carolina, which is growing incredibly fast. So
Right.
the economic climate for this kind of work here is outstanding. So it was one of my better ways to generate income and provide for my family. So I jumped on it. I love it now here. It's
Yeah.
beautiful. Get to work on, gorgeous homes on the mountainside.
Were you involved at all in any of the rebuilding of some of the hurricane that came through there?
Oh yeah, we got tons of rebuilding work from the hurricane.
Yeah.
All kinds of, flooded everything from flooded basements to trees falling on houses to, full houses being totally crushed.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we suffered a lot of devastation in this area. The Asheville area, Western North Carolina was hit horribly bad. Fortunately for me and my family, we escaped rather unscathed. I'm in a town called Hendersonville, just outside Asheville. But there are some areas, if you've seen news reports of Bat Cave and Chimney Rock, that's 15 to 20 minutes away from me. Entire towns were washed away when the rivers broke.
Wow.
Yeah, it was
And
devastating.
yeah, what does it mean to you to be able to contribute, to the rebuilding?
Not just in that case, but that's always one of the more enjoyable parts of this business and my job. Now, when people need help because of hurricane relief, obviously they're very grateful that they have their house or their roof put back on. But that's kind of always been one of my favorite parts of the jobs is, taking somebody's house and remodeling it and refinishing it and improving it to make it, their dream home.
Yeah.
I'm doing one right now for a couple who raised three boys in a house, for the last 30 years, and now they want to turn it into their retirement house. So it's like a whole nother vision. So I get a lot out of that, out of helping people kind of transform their houses into what it is that they're looking for. But for sure, when you put somebody's roof back on who's had holes in their, in their living room for a couple of weeks, and the gratitude that comes with that it's definitely rewarding.
Is there anybody that maybe you'd like to give a shout out to for your, time at Oneonta?
For being there or just in
Well, just
general?
just in general, people you like to thank, for kind of getting you through and helping you along.
Well, it's a lot of the same people I mentioned already. Josh Sussman, Seth Baker was a huge part of that, especially in my younger years when I didn't really know what was going on. All the defensemen that I played with, we used to sit together. I remember being a freshman and being the only goaltender on the team. And, I was pushed very hard, like I said. Not really sure that I wanted to keep doing that. And sitting at the lunch table with my teammates and telling them that I don't want to do this. I want to quit. I want to go back home. This is miserable. And, having them all talk to me. There was a couple of guys, Luke Rabideau, Matt Cook, guys that had transferred in from other schools. They ended up having a pretty good a pretty good influence on me because they kind of came with a little bit different point of view. They had been to Rutgers and UMBC respectively, so
Wow.
I had gotten to know them a little bit, and their insight from other schools, was nice. I lived with a bunch of guys. I had two guys from my high school there too, Mookie Weber and Mike Hamza, both played with me in high school. They were on that team there for years, both good players in their own right. So
Yeah.
it's hard to pick one. That whole team was very tight, and a lot of us were from the same area. Although I will say the Baker brothers, Matt Blazy, Luke Rabideau, they were all upstate New York kids. I was a Long Island kid, so at first I didn't think we were going to get along, but they ended up being some of my best friends from rural areas in New York, where,
Yeah.
I'm from right outside New York City. We had, very different ideas of what
Yeah.
fun was on a weekend.
Yeah.
We were
Yeah.
putting hair gel in and going to clubs, and they were putting on, hunting suits and going turkey hunting.
Yeah. Well, that's what makes it a team. That's what makes it an experience, right?
Sure.
Well, listen, we certainly again want to congratulate you on this honor, and we certainly do look forward to seeing you on June 7th, you and your family coming up. Your parents gonna be with you, or
Yep, mom's gonna be there. My wife and children will be there, and I'm pretty sure my siblings and nieces and nephews will be making the trip up as well.
awesome. It'll be a great time. It's always a great great time, and it's good to be able to welcome you back and be able to say congratulations in person. So we're certainly looking forward to that, and we do we look forward to seeing you on June 7th.
Great.
Okay.